Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Radical Compliance podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Radical Compliance, and today we're taking a deeper look into a recent report about compliance technology in the financial sector. Some of you may recall that Radical Compliance had a post about this report on June 27. It was published by Thomson Reuters Regulatory Intelligence, and they had surveyed more than 800 compliance professionals at financial firms around the world. What stood out to me about that report was Thomson's finding that a solid majority of financial firms still say they are getting more budget, more staffing, more salary for senior compliance professionals. All good news. Although there are many more statistics about compliance in the financial sector in that report. So to take a deeper dive into it today, I'm joined by Susanna Hammond. She's one of the principal authors of the report, and she is also a senior regulatory intelligence expert with Thomson. And she is calling in from England. And Susanna, welcome.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
All right. So, first question is, what findings were most interesting or surprising to you? Because I like to see the increased budgets and whatnot, but we had a lot of subjects covered in this report. So what caught your eye?
Well, first off, I would have to say I completely agree on the budgets. That's very welcome news. And that's particularly the case because in last year's report, we just begot the beginning of the sense that resources might be starting to be constrained.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very nice to see that this year that actually that's not been fulfilled. The uptick is, but there again, budgets are back. Understanding that senior compliance professionals cost money. They are value for money, obviously, but they do cost money. But the other element that has come to the fore this year, which well, perhaps not a surprise, it's certainly interesting, is the prevalence around the concerns with data protection, the implementation of the European General Data Protection Regulation,
mm-hmm.
and just the sense that for 2018, that area is going to be a particular challenge for financial services firms around the world. And just as one very small vignette, the GDPR, which has global impact, you get that wrong, in fact, if you get that badly wrong, you can be fined either 20 million euros or 4% of your global annual turnover.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't matter who you are, 4% global annual turnover is enough to make your eyes water.
You know, since you mentioned the GDPR and data protection, I was interested in one of the findings that basically said compliance officers are they're playing a greater role in thinking about technology, assessing technology, but really that's going to raise your risks around data security, reliability of technology vendors, GDPR and whatnot. To a certain extent, I guess I wonder how well do compliance officers understand what these challenges are? How steep is this learning curve right now? What do you think about these kind of issues?
I think it's one of the areas where compliance and indeed risk officers are very aware about the skill sets needed.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to be fair, not just in the risk and compliance functions, but also around the boardroom table. And IT, in all of its glorious shape and form, has been very much, well, that's what they do. That's what IT do, technology do.
Yeah.
And one of the many ramifications of the fintech, regtech revolution is that the need to truly understand what technology can and can't do for you has had to be much more prevalent. Now, risk and compliance, obviously, on a lot of levels, need to understand technology. And if you're a compliance officer, you really need to understand what a RegTech solution could do for you, also what those downsides are. But one of the things we've seen repeatedly is that it is the boardroom that truly needs to up its game in terms of IT and technology skills, because they are less prevalent, certainly on an individual and collective basis. And it's essential that the board of a big financial services firm, or indeed any financial services firm, understands technology, really understands technology.
Yeah. You know, but before I move on to some other subjects, I suppose I did want to pick up on one more point about budgets and staffing increasing. You know, to a certain extent, like you, I find it surprising. I see these anecdotal reports from financial firms that, hey, let's cut every middle manager we can find. I've seen some anecdotal reports that they're putting a pause on Dodd-Frank on projects around compliance because of Dodd-Frank reform, because of the talk about deregulation. So I hear that, and then I see these stats that, well, for the most companies, most financial firms, that's not the case. The budgets are going up. And so I'm just trying to still figure out, you know, where do we think the disconnect is? Are we simply wrong in thinking there's a lot of budget going on, budget cuts going on? Might we see more in the future? I don't know. But I mean, you know, what do you think about what these numbers say?
I think there's a couple of things at play. One is I think it's perhaps a reallocation of budget.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a big driver still around regulatory uncertainty. And you mentioned the potential for deregulation. Well, it may well end up being deregulation, but in the short term, it will have to be re-regulation, because even if you're moving to deregulation, that's still a phase of regulatory change you're going to have to go through.
Yep.
And as yet, we do not have certainty around what that actually looks like. And the Dodd-Frank reform, yes, we've had some of that come through, but not nearly all of the stuff proposed by the US Treasury, what, back in January, or might have been late last year.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got lots of uncertainty and lots of challenges. And even with the big set piece global changes like MiFID II, MiFIR, which came in January this year, they've only just come in. And already they are talking about the need to change them.
Yep.
So you're back in that, you know, whether it's a virtuous circle or a vicious circle of regulatory change. And firms need compliance functions and functionality to deal with regulatory change. So for me, that is the big connection, that the uncertainty around regulatory change, the need to assess it, implement it, embed it, you're going to need strong, well-resourced compliance functions for really quite some time.
Do you think that we're going to see a bigger divergence between U.S. deregulatory reform and what we're talking about here and wherever the rest of the world might be going? How much do you think that the U.S. versus the rest of the world is or isn't in step here?
I think there's two different elements to that. On the prudential side, so the Basel reform,
mm-hmm.
it's entirely possible that the U.S. may choose to do it in a slightly different direction, even though the US itself had previously agreed to the Basel reforms.
Yeah.
The area where I see really quite a lot of coherence still is with on the conduct of business side. You can barely read a regulatory speech almost anywhere around the world at the moment without coming across culture, conduct risk, the need to eradicate misconduct. There, I think there is regulatory coherence. For a very good reason. I mean, the persistence of misconduct in financial services
mm-hmm.
has not been limited to just one country. It is, sadly, a truly global phenomenon at that point, and it needs to go.
So along those lines, that tees up the next questions that I had wanted to ask, a few about compliance officer liability. Mm-hmm. In your report, you see that this is a rising concern globally, which I found a little bit jarring, because here in the United States, we have regulators going to great lengths to say that compliance officers are not targets, they're not scapegoats, they're our best friends. And worldwide, we seem to be seeing something different.
Well, I think the worldwide trend is just for senior manager accountability, mm-hmm. and compliance officers are part of that. I mean, one of the really big trends we are seeing around the world, and this is linking back to that need to mitigate, manage, eradicate misconduct, is that senior managers can and will be held personally liable for compliance failures. Now, I absolutely understand in the US that the regulators have gone out of their way to make a point of saying compliance officers are not being scapegoated, because there was that little cluster a couple of years ago when rather too many compliance officers faced personal liability for compliance failings at their firms.
Yep.
What we're seeing is compliance officers understanding that their personal liability is still increasing, but I would suggest it's increasing alongside senior managers and as a whole, rather than compliance officers being singled out.
And my second question was about it's the attention to corporate culture. that seems to be driving this concern about compliance officer liability. So tell me more about that, because that strikes me as a bit unfair that, you know, if a compliance officer is negligent in administering a compliance program, that's one thing. But I mean, to say that a CCO is on the hook because the whole corporate culture is bad, it's not like they have that much influence over corporate culture. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, what to make of that sort of concern.
I think it is, again, with regard to compliance officers being perceived as a senior manager of the firm. The finding where 70-odd percent believe that their personal liability will increase, that was a question very much asked of senior managers, and with regard to the regulatory focus on culture and conduct risk. Actually, that was in our culture and conduct risk report. What we are seeing is that compliance officers are front and center in interpreting what the culture and conduct risk expectations on firms actually are, because they're not the sort of things that are written down in rule books. These are from thematic reviews, from speeches, to a certain extent from enforcement actions. They are the interpretation in practical reality of what regulatory good now looks like. And in a way, this all loops back to the concerns about misconduct and the key lever in the eradication of misconduct in financial services is really now seen as being personal liability and accountability of senior managers. Compliance officers seen as absolutely being one of that senior management team, even if their role in misconduct is somewhat different to other senior managers.
And so then last question I wanted to ask is, the report has lots of statistics about how compliance officers typically spend their time, which I found fascinating because I don't see a lot of surveys about that. But rather than delve into any specific analysis or chart in the report, I just wanted to ask, how can they use this sort of information about how they spend their time to develop plans for either automation or other use of technology to sort of reallocate and improve what their daily schedule looks like? I mean, what would you advise them?
Well, I think you can certainly use reports such as ours to benchmark and see whether what you are experiencing in terms of pinch points, in terms of where you are finding something, a process, a procedure, particularly labor intensive. First of all, see whether that is common ground with other people, and because then that suggests there may be a solution out there for you. But then I would also suggest that you need to take an awful lot of care in planning and thinking about any possible automation. One of the many concerns with automation that we've had fed back both anecdotally and in really quite a lot of detail is the concern that the IT infrastructures, certainly in larger firms, are not sufficiently cohesive and stable to actually truly support RegTech solutions that make compliance officers' lives easier. Yes, of course, you can implement them. Yes, of course, you can install them. But do they actually give you all of the benefits you think you should be getting? And there's a growing sense that while compliance officers are saying, well, this is particularly where I'm finding an issue, whether that's in coping with regulatory change or tracking when a rule change comes into effect, understanding exactly how you can make automation work for you is absolutely critical in making sure that when you do implement a RegTech solution, it actually does make your life that little bit easier, that little bit better. And it doesn't end up actually causing you more problems than you started with. I know that's a slightly gloomy outlook, but we're getting some sense of that feedback from compliance officers that obviously they're cautious people by nature, but they are just being a little bit careful about automation and technological solutions until they are completely comfortable that they really will work as intended in their firm, given IT infrastructures.
Well, Susanna, that's all the time we have today, but you covered plenty of ground for us, so thank you very much for your time.
You are most welcome. I hope it was useful.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, everybody, that was Susanna Hammond. She is one of the principal authors of a new report from Thomson Reuters Risk Intelligence that is surveying compliance officers in the financial world, and she's been talking to us about those findings today. You can find a link to that report in my blog post that will be accompanying this podcast. So that's all for this time. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Radical Compliance. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you'll join me again next time.